وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And amen to your beautiful du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank, Mulana. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In asbaha ma'ukum ghawra. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. Peace and salutations be upon our leader and master, Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, today we bring you the story of a grammarian and the sailor. Murana Rumi mentions in his Masnavi the story of a person who was well learned in grammar, in Arabic grammar. And Arabic grammar consists of two aspects, that is sarf and nahw. So a certain man noted for his knowledge of grammar once boarded the boat for a voyage, Maulana says. The captain of the boat asked him, "Sir, in which subject are you an expert?" So he spontaneously replied, "I am an expert in the knowledge of grammar. It is a great pity that you have spent your whole life in learning how to sail a boat, but did not learn anything about grammar." At this reply, the boatsman remained silent. It so happened that according to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the boat was caught up in a storm in the middle of the ocean. So the captain told the grammarian, "Sir, make use of your knowledge of grammar and save yourself from drowning. The boat is in danger of sinking." The grammarian remained silent. Of what use was grammar in such a situation? The sailor also said, "This is not a time for grammar. It is time to be a swimmer. There is at this time no use of expert knowledge of grammar. It is time to swim your way out of trouble. The water of the ocean carries a corpse on its head, while living ones it drowns." In other words, by annihilating yourself, the road to Allah is discovered. Those who act proudly and arrogantly become destroyed, just like this grammarian. Hence, in the path of Allah, self-annihilation is most useful. It is of no great benefit to become involved with arguments and debates. Sometimes these debates create arrogance, which prevents one from building a close contact with the saintly ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against such deprivation and grant us perfect annihilation of the self. Ameen. Hakim Akhtar Sahib says, Rahmatullah Ali, "I once asked my Shaykh and Murshid, what is annihilation? He replied, the meaning of the term destruction of the self and to annihilate yourself and to become annihilated to Allah means that a person will discard all his pleasures and desires which are against the commands of Allah. That is what is called annihilation of the self. So when a person initially takes the first steps on the path of suluk, suluk means treading the path towards Allah, this annihilation is accomplished through strenuous spiritual exercises and great difficulty. But in the end, the pleasure of Allah and the acquisition thereof becomes like second nature to a person, much more easy to attain." Now there's another story of a philosopher. A certain Qari recited the verse from the Holy Quran, "In asbaha ma'akum ghawra," if the water of your fountain should disappear deep into the ground, who has the power to bring it up? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that He alone has the power to bring back that water after it has sunk to the underground. "I cause water to become hidden in the depths of the earth and cause fountains to dry up, causing water scarcity. Who else except me can bring back water to the fountains? Hearing this verse being recited, a philosopher and magician said, I am able to bring back the water. So that night he saw in a dream a strong man give him a heavy blow in his eyes, as a result of which both his eyes were struck with blindness. So in the dream the man said to him, O wretched one, bring back the light into the fountains of your eyes, if you are truthful in your claim. When he awoke from his dream, then he found that he was really blind in both his eyes. So at that moment, if this man sought Allah's pardon and cried before him, then Allah's mercy would have returned the light to his eyes. However, the ability to seek pardon and repent does not lie in his hands, and the taste of repentance is not food for every drunken one. So beautifully, Maulana Rumi says this. From this story, we learn the following lessons. Casting doubt in the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam can, besides the punishment in the year after, sometimes be the cause of worldly punishment. This is something that one should greatly fear. One should never commit sins with this idea in mind that afterwards one is going to repent, because the ability to repent does not lie in our hands. It is possible that because of our boldness and audacity and our insulting attitude, the ability and guidance towards repentance can be taken away from us. That could mean that without repentance for sins committed, one can become and remain rejected. The example of Tawbah and repentance is like a person saying, this ointment is very beneficial and good for burns. Relying on this ointment, will a person then place his hands in the fire? Definitely no. The ointment is to be used for accidents only. Not that one should purposely burn his hands in the fire and then test the ointment. Similarly, for sins and the darkness, and the fire which causes damage to the heart, distances one from Allah and causes his displeasure, Tawbah makes amends. Tawbah is the ointment, an antidote for the wounds caused by the fire of sins. But to reckon that I am purposely going to commit sins is just putting your hand in the fire to test the beneficial nature of the ointment. So this is a foolish indeed. So one should avoid all sins, even at the cost of his life. To retain this resolute intention, one should make contact with the pious servants of Allah, choose a good environment, and inculcate within oneself the habit of performing zikr abundantly. If in spite of all these efforts to avoid sin, due to human weakness, a sin does occur, then in such a case, crying and grief and sorrow and repentance are two very beneficial ointments. Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali says in one place, the vehicle of repentance is a wonderful means of conveyance. Within a moment, it moves us from the lowliness of sins and takes us for a tour of the celestial bodies. And he who repents to Allah becomes Allah's beloved, reaching him cleansed and forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the hidayah to constantly make tawbah, seek repentance and forgiveness at least 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayh. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you.